Welcome back from the holiday.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. We're back from vacation, and it's the first trading day of September. Historically, this can be one of the worst months for the stock market. In the last 50 years, the Dow has lost an average 1.2% in September. And the current credit crunch has made things a little dicey. The first big test for the credit markets comes this week, financing the $24 billion private equity buyout of First Data Corporation. And, of course, the wild card. Will the Fed cut interest rates on September 18th? The global stock markets continue to debate the possibility for recession, not just here in the U.S., but Japan, too. Overnight in Tokyo, the Nikkei slipped. But in Europe, banking stocks are leading the major markets higher. The CEO of Deutsche Bank believes the markets are stabilizing after the turbulence in August. That may be so, but there is a big European banking merger that could be affected by the problems in the credit markets. We have more from London and Stephen Beard.
A consortium led by the Royal Bank of Scotland has been battling to take over the Dutch bank ABN AMRO. It's offered some $95 billion, mostly in cash. But some observers reckon the RBS consortium could now lower its bid, citing the turmoil in financial markets. Acquiring companies can legally do this, but they must first prove that something dramatic has happened, that the target company is suddenly worth less than before. Mark Derling of stockbrokers Brewin Dolphin thinks that RBS will press ahead and get the Dutch bank at a better price.
I still think RBS is in a commanding position. If the volatility persists in the global financial markets, then you could say that RBS will win the deal and also maybe cut the offer.
The British bank Barclays is also bidding for ABN, but it's mainly offering its own shares, and they've fallen sharply since the subprime crisis began. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Bush is in Sydney this week for the Asia-Pacific Economic Conference, but he's leaving the summit a day early, and that might not sit well. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The Asia-Pacific conference called APEC is one of the largest gatherings of world leaders. With members like China and Russia, APEC accounts for more than half of the world's economy and almost half its trade. President Bush is leaving the summit early this year. He wants to be back in the U.S. in time for the Iraq report to Congress. Donald Strausheim with Roth Capital Partners says the president's early exit could be taken the wrong way.
Asia is going to be the center of economic growth for the foreseeable future. We need to be fully engaged with all of Asia, and I'm afraid we're not as engaged as we ought to be.
Strausheim says Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has taken the lead on strategic trade talks in the region, but a U.S. absence at the summit could provide China with a leg up on trade deals with emerging market powerhouses like Malaysia, Indonesia, and Vietnam. The summit will focus on global warming and trade. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Construction crews have started a $5 billion upgrade to the Panama Canal. That could mean cheaper goods here in the U.S. The canal is being expanded to accommodate a new class of cargo ships. They'll carry more than twice the number of containers as ships currently using the canal. Two-thirds of the cargo received in the U.S. passes through the Panama Canal. The work is due to be completed in 2014. That'll coincide with the 100th anniversary of the inauguration of the original canal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world, online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, supporting America's public transportation systems, working to help reduce greenhouse gases for a better environment at publictransportation.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship, online at kauffman.org.
The rapid growth of India's economy has had one unintended consequence: the poorest road safety record on the planet. 8% of the world's total traffic-related deaths occur in India. In New Delhi, the High Court increased fines to discourage bad driving. But as Miranda Kennedy reports, it may have not had the intended effect.
What would pass as a near collision or potential pileup on U.S. roads is just normal traffic here. It wouldn't really warrant police action. But something surprising is now happening around evening rush hour. Several cops are carefully scanning the traffic, and they pull someone over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You are without helmet, yes. Both are without helmet.
The High Court recently decided that the roads of the capital were just too crazy. It cracked down on the police, who are notorious for taking bribes instead of giving out tickets. So the court raised the fines for traffic violators. A policeman pulls over two guys on a motorcycle without helmets. Looks like a slam dunk for a fine. Then things get juicier.
Stop it. Stop it. You are both without helmets.
Do you have a license?
I don't have anything. Nothing at all.
So you never use a license or a helmet? The driver says he's just visiting from Sudan, and the policeman waves him away without a fine. Sikhs wearing turbans and women also get a pass.
Okay.
Go.
Under the new law, the maximum fine has jumped from $20 to $30. The real question is, though, whether the higher fees will go to the government or into the policemen's pockets to cover business expenses.
They won't really fine you, but take half the money as bribe.
Swati Mehta works for a nonprofit that's trying to reform India's police. She says cops often have to pay a bribe of $10,000 to $20,000 just to get into the force. They earn a pittance, but figure they can make it back later by demanding bribes.
With policing, you always have to rely on individuals. Someone who's standing on the road, there's no supervisor to keep an eye on him or her. A huge overhauling of the system is required, which is what we are working on. It just seems so daunting a task.
It's pretty hard to catch corrupt cops when the people you report police corruption to are the police themselves. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And if you have a comment for us, we'd like to hear from you. Email to letters@marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.